to advertise, email podcast@thisismatchy.com.
Release yourself from order and logic and enter a new place. It's not work. It's not home. Here, no maps have been drawn. No books have been written. Nothing is certain. Everything is possible. Welcome to podcast and chill with Matt G.
I'm assuming this doesn't end well.
And what a minute, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to a special edition of Podcast and Chill. It's been a long time coming, man. I was telling him, like, I feel like he's a part of the furniture because we're always calling him on the Monday show and stuff
like that.
Yeah,
he's family.
Yeah.
He's his family.
Please welcome Sizwe Alkanine.
Don't lie, nigga. I'm the only one willing to take your calls. Nobody wants to take your calls. True caller says,
What's happening, dog? You good?
Chilling, bro.
Yeah.
I'm tired.
How did you come up with
good.
The name Sizwe Alkanine, man? It's so hard to pronounce, bro.
Alakine.
Alakine.
Do you know what it means to Alakine?
No.
pH and whatnot.
No.
No, that's alkaline. Okay.
To Alakine is to Ashkarine.
It's to what?
To Ashkarine.
What's that?
Ashkarine.
What's to Sekremime?
What's to Sekremime?
To rock.
It's to Ashkaravine.
What's to Ashkaravine?
To Shivarine.
Shivarine.
Dog, I'm old, dog.
Shivarine Chandapal.
It's some Soweto slang, actually. It's some Soweto slang that the Brews like swinging when they're talking. But how we landed on the Alakine. So let me tell you, when I started doing these Yanos things, I was like, no, there's no way I want to do this as Reason. I'd made that decision.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I don't want to do this.
Good decision.
I can't do this music as Reason.
Good.
Reason is a special box, you know? So then I start telling everybody I'm going as Sizwe. In the beginning, I just wanted to do Sizwe. I just wanted to use my name.
Yeah.
To say, this is me. This is about me and the hood me, the real me, the ghetto me, everything all in one, you know?
Yeah.
Word gets out to Pori. I spoke to Tuli and I said, yo, Tuli, I need a session with Pori.
Tuli Lok.
She's Pori's manager.
Yeah.
Oh.
So I hit her up and I'm like, yo, man, I've been doing some of this, you know, Yano stuff. I did some stuff with Musa Keys, Tyler. I want to work with Pori, you know. Can you please send him this stuff and see? This is me begging now for a session with Pori.
Yeah, dope, yeah.
She hits me back. She's like, yo, man, Pori says the stuff is nice. Everything's cool. But he says, this Sizwe is not enough. You
what?
Know, it used to be Sizwe something.
Yeah, yeah.
It can't just be Sizwe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, man. Give us a surname or whatever, you know, and then they started going with it, and I started realizing it's Durban Gogo, Dali Wonga, Lady Du,
Sir Trill,
you know, Young Stana,
Mpura,
Mpura Mpura,
Mpura Mpura,
it was Mpura Mpura,
even the one
Mpura wasn't enough, he had to get two. So we spent like a good 3 weeks.
Mpura,
Mpura,
Mpura.
You don't know the song. So we spent like 3 weeks trying to figure out what we're going to put at this thing.
3 weeks?
Fana, going
okay,
back
what,
and
what are some of the surnames you came up with?
Yeah, well, I wanted to use Mafutela as well.
Oh,
because that used to be like an alter ego of mine back in the day when I used to rap in Venek.
Sizwe Mafutela. That's dope. Sizwe
Mafutela. But then, there's a poet called Mavutela or something.
Mm.
Oh, no.
Oh,
it was Sizwe Makafula. Then I thought, fuck, there's another poet called Makafula.
Poet,
then
yes.
I said Mavutela. Then I thought, Esh, Mavutela is like, it's very surnamey.
Yeah.
You know,
oh,
it's
yes.
very actual surnamey.
It's
I might like, as well be
Wicked.
I might as well use my surname. You know, so we came up. So then I get introduced while I'm in the Yanos. I get introduced to this language, how Ashkaravine, Ashkarine, Petty Sekremime, you know. How you heard when vocalistics said, oh, Nakitom Sekremime.
Yes.
Or when Sir Trill says, Loenang Zom Ashkarine.
Hey,
you know,
yeah.
So that's the lingo.
Oh.
So that's the lingo, you know. And it means nothing. It's like right now we're Ashkarining an interview. We're Ashkarining
wow.
the grandeur.
Yeah.
Your grandeur got Ashkarined. So anyway, Alakine was one of those. Yeah, well, and where it popped up was in one of the sessions I was having with Pori. There's a line that Mpura comes in where he goes, Alakine, 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 Matuman, 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 it's a man, Calamine, Calamine. So I was fucking with
Calamine.
That Alakine, Alakine, Alakine. Yeah, the song is called Miss Calamine.
Wow.
Yeah, so yeah, we'll get there. So I was like, yo, this Alakine sounds like a vibe, you know.
Yeah.
Also, it sounds like it's a shout out in the record, you know.
Yes.
And really, the next time I bump into him, I'm like, yo, dog, I'm rocking with Alaka. And he's like, ah, Assam Bintuan. So he actually came up, well, not came up with it, but I stole it from Mpura in a rap.
Wow.
And
dope,
I figured,
man.
And little did I know it was problematic. In hindsight, though, I really wish I went with Sizwe Lebaka.
Lebaka.
So Lebaka is your surname?
No, it's Reason, translated.
Oh, Lebaka.
Yes.
Hey.
And Mutipa keeps calling me about this. He's like, dog, why didn't you go with Lebaka? I'm like, dog, I thought about
it. No, but it sounds like a name. It sounds very formal. Like
I hear you. I hear you.
Like corporate governor.
It's just now when you're hearing
alkaline.
Alkaline. Everywhere is alkaline. Like, I've even accepted alkaline. When you say alkaline, I say, hey, what's up?
Yeah.
There's no, hey, alakine. No, it's fine.
You, Allah, so it's alakine.
Alakine.
Yeah. Okay, got it. Remember that soul.
No, I've been remembering it. I've been knowing it.
Bro, is it true you're Tonga?
I am Tonga.
Wow.
Hey, for real.
Yeah, I can show you.
Yeah, the Tonga and the vendor. Let's see. Let's settle this today. The Tonga and the vendors are here. Let's lay it on the table.
Make way. Move out. I think we might need to go outside for this one.
So how come you don't rap in Tonga?
I don't know how to speak it, man. I was raised with my mom and my grandmother.
Yeah.
You know, so I didn't grow up with my Tonga family. And even my family, my dad's family predominantly speaks Swati anyway because they're from Mpumalanga.
So your dad
Very
was Tonga?
Few, he was Tonga.
Oh, and your mom?
Yeah. My mom is Tswana.
Tswana. Yeah. Oh, okay. Clean.
So I was hardly exposed to Tonga.
Yeah. And then Zulu because you know...
Yeah,
Zulu is quite good.
I can't really say I was it's not really Zulu because there'll be Zulu brews who will just say, I say Zulu. So I think it's township lingo. It's Kasital pretty much, you know what I mean? That's where like I can mix them up. You know, I'm in the Sotho side, Zulu side, get a bit of Xhosa, get a bit of Pedi. Mm. You know, also Tembisa does not give you a chance.
Mm.
You know, Tembisa is like a mixture of languages.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It just depends. Which hood you in?
Yeah.
If you grew up with the Pedis, that's you, brother.
Which hood were you in?
I was in Maokeng section.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of Pedi people, Pedi Zulu people.
Yeah. Dude, how was your childhood? Because I heard like, yo, it was shit hit the fan, man. Like it was crazy.
What?
Yeah.
My childhood was awesome. I
For
was
real?
Rich. No, I'm kidding. I guess it was a tough childhood in a sense that I wasn't rich. I didn't grow up in a wealthy family or whatever.
Yeah.
But my parents were in business. You know, business puzzle shop.
Mm.
Oh, before that, my dad was actually into carpentry.
Oh, dope.
You know, he was passionate about carpentry. Was into it, but he felt like the money was too slow, and he wanted to go into business. So he opened up a shop. You know. That went pretty well, you know. Took me to really good schools, you know. But it was very basic. It's not like I was balling, you know what I mean? I'd be at Eden Glen Primary, you know, but my dad would show up in the Fox.
Yeah. I know those vibes.
Well, my friend's dad shows up in a BMW.
I used to tell my mom to park that side, I'll walk
you. Nah, my dad would be the first nigga out. You're the first guy out there. That's if I didn't get. But also, I traveled with taxis a lot.
Okay.
So whenever he'd have to come and fetch me, it's like dance or disco or sports or something like that.
And
even then,
it disco, have to my be dog. When last did you hear that?
Primary school.
Primary school.
Yeah,
discos.
Discos,
right?
Yeah. We had discos.
So I mean, it was like very, very basic, very standard, very simple family. But like, they really pushed for all of us to have like extraordinary lives within that community. You know what I mean? Because there were other wealthier families within like the strip.
Yeah, and with the bottle stores.
Yeah, with the bottle stores and
supermarkets.
That uncle that won the horses
and then killed everybody in 2 weeks and had a triple story.
Triple story.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Maruze Kai was a Kalama Chips. You understand? So they were hard working, man. It was a hard working family. Pretty much spent every single day with my family.
Is it true you had pop with oil at some point?
Yeah. It was a line, man. Mixed the oil with gravy sauce. So that period in my life, that's a line from Endurance.
Yeah.
That was a period in my life when I was actually living in my grandmother, funny enough.
Yeah.
That was when I just finished high school.
Mm.
And me and my dad had a fight. So yeah. I decided, fuck it, I'm moving out. I'm going to go live
with
my grandmother.
What are you fighting about, dog? You're fucking young.
But that typical father son situation. 19, 20, 18, 17. There's a lot of fighting.
Yeah. Up and I'm in the
jail. What could you miss all? You think you're that guy.
Yeah.
So I ended up moving. But also I had a very, very soft spot for Tembisa because that's where my grandmother was. You know, Tembisa represented, I guess, as a teenager, it represented like freedom.
Because
my grandmother was one of those people. You could leave whenever you want to leave, come back whenever you want to come back.
Yeah.
You know, you can drink if you want to drink. You know, as long as you're waking up and you're cleaning in the house, you wash the dishes, you guys make food, she was pretty much happy. So I just wanted the peace because my parents were strict. My dad was strict. My mom was strict. Then it took that one little incident and I said, no, let me take a break. Let me off, you know. So while we were there, I mean, after high school, you know, I didn't really have money to go to tertiary.
100%.
You know? And also my dad was just like, no, I'm not going to break my back for these shitty ass marks.
Yeah.
Like, what am I going to do? Get a loan for this E student. Because people would think I was an A student, but actually I wasn't.
Yeah.
I was just skimming it through, you know.
Surviving.
So I went and then it was just me, my grandmother and my cousin and my uncle. And that's what endurance is about. It's like that period in my life where only one person was working in the whole house. My pops was like, hey man, you made your decision, you figure it out that side, you know. Kind of like survived with like a few hype man gigs with Proverb.
During Outrageous Records.
Records, because I had met him like when I was what, 16.
Shit, you know.
So when I it was like,
is he big
started
at time?
Moving. Yeah, at the time it was when they were head to head with Pro Kid.
Okay.
Because it was Proverb first, who was soaring.
Is.
Then Pro Kid came and then they were kind of like head to head. But he was still good. He was doing lots of shows. He was releasing. He was having a really good run, you know. So I'd be popping up there, being a hype man for him, being a hype man for Ntabi, showing up at some of Optical Illusions gigs, you know. Because I also had that year to actually like build a name, you know. So that's where things were starting to come together. But it was tough, you know. Nobody was working.
How did you meet Proverb?
Me and Stethoscope decided to bunk school one day.
Who's Stethoscope?
The producer.
Stethoscope, the producer. Stethoscope is a producer. What does Stethoscope work on? He worked on Smooth.
The Book of DJ Proverb. The first Proverb.
Remember When It Rains?
Remember When It Rains.
Stethoscope produced Remember When It Rains.
Yeah, he produced that.
He made
I heard he left music, man.
Yeah, he left music. He's into construction.
He's into construction. Indalo Project is his company.
Wow. Oh, is that him?
Yeah, Indalo Project is his company.
Yeah.
He made the stadium, the 50 million one.
No, that's Ugala Project. Indalo Project. No, it's not him.
So it's not Digital Vibes, that one. That's the name of my album, by the way.
Oh, sweet.
Digital Vibes. What were we talking about?
Proverb. How you met him?
So me and Stethoscope, I'd been working on a demo with him. Then we decided, let's just go to IFM. Let's just let them hear it.
Wow.
Just get feedback. It wasn't even any intent or whatever. When we got there, we were shook as fuck. We were outside, you know, our YFM studios, the
Rosebank,
reception. Rosebank, right outside the Magent store.
Yeah.
So we're chilling there. You see them walk out one by one. Fresh is walking out. DJ Monde walks in. Shook. Then at the end of the show, Vanna, we have Proverb walking out. And he walks out. And I look at Stay. And I said, yo, dog, let's get this guy. Dog, that's the guy. So now we rush. We rush with him. We go down those stairs. We say, dog, we don't want to bother you. We just want you to listen to this shit. I think, weirdly enough, I even had a diss for Salvin in one of the demos. And he was tight with Salvin at the time. I don't know what was going into me. But anyway, I was battle. He goes in the car. He bumps it. He's like, oh, this shit is fresh. It's actually quite dope, you know. But I'm a rapper. I can't do shit for you. You know, what you need is a label. So,
yes.
Funny story. He says, no, go to Rage. Outrageous Records is in Norwood, right? We're in Rosebank. So we say, okay, fine. He says, go there, you know, ask for Zeno, ask for JJ, ask for Battlecat, ask for any one of those guys and play them your stuff and see what they say. Cool. the way he explains it is like, so you're going to go catch a taxi to Louis Porter and then just go up the road.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, you're there. Vana, ikep isbege. I got to call it.
Yeah.
And Louis Porter.
Yeah. Oh.
See, I ain't no wood.
Yo.
Done. In our heads, we keep thinking, ah, must he like to.
Yeah.
You know, he gave us the street name and everything. Ah, we walked, bro. Then at some point we thought, yo, man, it's too late to catch a taxi. Let's just walk.
Yeah.
Now we're walking. We walk. Dog, we walked that whole entire strip only to find Proverb there. Oh.
Same day.
Shooting head rush. Oh. Dog, you could have given us a ride. You could have given us a ride. But when we pulled up, he's like, oh, shit, you were serious. All right, cool. These are the niggas you got to meet, yo. You got to pay attention to these kids. Listen to them out. And just because we showed up, he was like, okay, fine, you're fucking serious.
You yeah.
know? That's how I met the whole collective,
wow.
pretty much, you know.
Wow.
And then I ended up just riding with them because there was that thing in high school where you had to job shadow.
Yes, right?
You had to job shadow somebody that you...
Yes.
And remember back then, if you wanted to go into music, you had to study sound engineering.
100%.
Oh, yes, you had to go study sound engineering. Well, that's what everybody did, you know. So I said, okay, I want a job shadow Proverb at YFM doing sound engineering during the breakfast show. And then I want a job shadow Battle Cat at Outrageous Records in the afternoons.
Is that how you got to do the three jingles for Fresh's show?
Pretty much. That's how I got to do pretty much all the jingles. Because by that time, Proverb was like, yo, son, I'm getting too famous. You know, these other stations are catching heat. They're getting mad that I'm dissing them on these jingles. So you got to take the reins, baby.
Yeah, yeah.
Ah, me, I was angry. I was ready.
Yeah.
I ran onto it. Yeah, that was pretty much my come up.
Fuck,
those jingles, yeah.
How do you get into battle rap? Because I know you and Saul have spoken about it vaguely on one of the other episodes.
It was almost natural.
Yeah.
It was almost like the thing that came with hip hop at the time.
Yeah.
Freestyling, battle rapping.
You had to.
You just had to. It's just
and you
something
guys battle
that
rap.
Happened. Yeah.
Yes. There was a competition in what was it? Club Monaco in Melville.
Monaco.
But that's
the one I wanted to remember the other day.
It's Monaco, yeah.
Someone posted, yo, tweet how old you are by a club that you remember. From back in the day.
Monaco. Opposite the spa in Melville.
Yeah.
Well, there was a Capella later. Yeah. There was a competition. Mm. But he was signed. That was just like an underground, unsigned guy.
I think there was Pear's Mammoth Battles. There was Pear names. It was Pear by himself. I think he called
it. Oh, damn.
Yeah,
what's there?
Because
there was like 36 rappers there, all kind of for one prize.
Yeah, that was his event.
You should have stuck to battle rapping because the radio is not for
no
him.
No ways. Mm. Oh, him. He should have stuck to battle rapping.
Yes, Pear.
Oh, is this you taking shots right
nah,
now? Oh,
right, nah, dog.
Ooh. The views expressed.
Shots fired.
The views expressed by Meg G. Pear noticed I did not laugh. So people get into trouble for
laughing. He has to play songs.
Of course, he's my friend though.
Smart move.
Smart he's my
move.
Friend. He's my friend.
So who won the battle between you guys?
I did.
Fuck, you kidding me?
Yeah, kill him.
I know it's hard to believe, right?
Bro.
Even you can't believe it.
Yeah.
Nah. I used to be a beast.
He did.
How did Saul kill you?
Saul was bad, actually. Saul was badass.
We met
no rappers, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
If anything, outside of me.
Yeah.
And I wasn't there around Questa's battle era, but like I think outside of me, there wasn't. Foslo was really where it was at. Yeah. You know, we used to go to Foslo's for a lot of those gigs. You know what I mean? Kakehong didn't really have that movement.
It was always
Togoza or Foslo. Mm. Even Leondale to a certain degree because they had money for stages and whatever. But like Abotola, they would pop into Katlehong, but Katlehong didn't really have that movement because Katlehong was very bourgeois. Mm. You know, it was very fashion driven, designers, Kotani level, you know what I mean?
Mm.
So not a lot of rappers came from there, but Foslo was where the heads were, you know. So these guys, even in high school, because that's where everybody meets, really.
Mm.
A lot of the stuff that we were getting from those brews.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It'd be guys from Foslo, guys from Leondale, guys from Klipwaterkie.
Yeah.
Those are the guys who give you the copyright tapes, you know, Jakai the Motormouth, you know what I mean? All those guys.
Jeremiah,
you know, Megahertz, the whole crew, everything. You know what I mean? So that thing was boiling.
Lift jugs.
Yeah, yeah. I'm so glad I'm saying things that nobody knows.
Nah, this is hip hop, hip hop, hip hop.
I know hip hop, nigga. Yeah, nigga. Nigga. In high school, baby. You know what I'm saying? So it was just part of it. It's just something you just had to do.
Yeah.
It's just something you had to do.
Where were these battles happening? Like apart from Monaco, like, is it like by the bus stop? Because I remember at Gandhi Square.
Definitely Gandhi Square.
Yo, bus stop. Gandhi was big.
Sometimes you would have like Germiston High and Dawnview. They all meet at Germiston Lake and battle outside the school. Yeah. Or a guy from this school goes to Dinwiddie and then they battle outside the school. Also, 8 Mile was in, eh?
Yeah,
it tutored us hard. Yo, everybody was battling, dog. We had a league at my school, dog. Niggas put up money and everything, dog.
For real?
Yeah, dog. I took it.
What's this? Germiston High, yeah?
Germiston High, dog. Vanna, it was hard, dog. That good month, NJ. Everybody was battling. But
so
then people must
went to a big break, because the first time I heard of you was do it like I can.
I think that still goes down as my official into like comments, but a lot of people really refer to the jingles.
Yeah,
you know, it's like I used to hear you on the jingles or the early stages of the Hype magazine tapes.
Yeah,
those Hype mag tapes were quite dope. Yeah. Do we carry on when it's loud like that? Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, is the sound fine?
Because it's not gonna stop.
Yeah. Hey,
it's gonna go on. Yeah,
should we carry on?
It's not bad. It's cool.
Oh, okay. Cool. Mm. Yeah.
I forgot what we were saying.
Do it like I can.
Do it like I can. Do it like I can does still go down as my official commercial.
Yeah. What did it do for your career, bro? Because like that song was crossover. Like white people knew it. Everybody knew it.
It's crazy because it's funny actually. Do it like I can kind of popped off because people thought I was American. Funny enough.
Yeah.
I always remind people of this thing. Like people don't. So if you really think about it, before Do It Like I Can, your state of crossover was from crossing over from being just a hip hop guy to being a hip hop guy that was liked by house guys.
Yes.
If you're crossed over, it means the house guys also like you now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm. At that time, it was probably only Zabs who was like crossing over to the white station.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes. And WHP.
A little bit, just from the love. I think he was just crossing over to other stations. But it's like, there used to be a very definite thing of saying, this is black music and this is white music.
Yeah.
You know, there used to be a very, you know, that's why Mendoza was such a phenomenon.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Because it was very definite to say, black artists, you know, you're popping on all the black stations, you've made it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So Abo Pro Kid, they would kill it on like YFM and all the hip hop stations, and then they'd kill Ukhozi and Tsering and whatever. So, you know, Squatter Camp did that, you know, where you're blowing up and all. But it's like very little love from the other side. They'll just do it because, oh well, you know, we want to entertain the other guys. With Do It Like I Can, it was just like they accepted it like I was Lupe Fiasco or something. You know what I'm saying? They kind of just took it in like they thought I was this American guy who was just making this good quality music and speaking this nice English or whatever. So when guys started asking for interviews in the beginning, they used to say, oh wow, is he in the country?
No, man.
Oh, he's South African.
He's
signed to Do Me. So, wow, really? By the time I'm on heavy rotation, it's too late. Do you understand what I'm saying? It was too late for them to go back. But like, that's really how that thing kind of transitioned into that section, right? But then immediately after that, that started becoming a trick because you got to understand at that time, if you wanted to blow up as a hip hop artist, there was still that talk of you can't do it without a bit of Venek. You have to have Venek. You have to add that vernacular. What? You know what I mean? If you're not Pro Kid, you're not gonna make it. If you're not Coolie China, you're not gonna make it. If you're not, you know, that's why AKA used to do a lot of collaborations with a lot of guys, to just like bring it back home. So everybody was in the effort of bringing it back home, and we were riding with, yo man, this shit slaps.
Yeah,
let's
it's
go.
Hard. It's hard.
It's catchy. The beat is nice. You know, also we were catching them because it was that old school. You know, so everybody kind of like felt it was like, oh, this is harmless.
Yeah.
You know, then there's a little kid that's saying, do it like I can. It's like, oh man, let's go. You know, let's move. You know, then straight after that, we were doing Takubone with KG. Then you're like, oh, this guy is such a cool guy. You know, but I became the white guy's rapper.
Oh.
If you really think about it, I got booked a lot in like festivals. Jobek Day wasn't there at the time, but like Opikopi. Those people were starting to warm up to me. 5FM, what festival?
That's where the money is.
The 94.7. Yeah, the Rock in the Days. That's where I was moving towards. It is, dog.
There's no Irku Kai Petrol at a point.
White people talk that trash language.
No, but Patala the Deuvuma.
Yeah.
Yes.
But then the tables turn after a while. Because I won that trick for a while. When niggas were like, oh shit, this nigga cracked it on the other side, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, the only other person who was that close was AKA, really. Mm. You know, AKA, or even Do Me, if you want to call it that.
Yes,
but,
Doge, yeah.
But then we just went full throttle onto the other side, you know?
Mm.
So then, but what you started to see what happens, like, after maybe, like, A Lot On My Mind and your just before we hit, like, Bump The Cheese Up now.
Mm.
Oh. What I was starting to look at, I was like, yo, man, at all these gigs, Cooley's there.
Yeah.
But he's leaving and going to 5 other ones.
Oh.
So I'd bump into everybody at all these gigs. I'd bump into everybody who was hot on the scene at the time. 2012, 2013, 2014. Mm. There was no gig you'd never see me at. Mm. You know what I mean? Mm. But the problem is, that's, for me, that's probably one of two gigs I'm doing that day. Cooley has 7 or 5. Mm. He's leaving there. He's even performing at 2 p.m. because he's got another situation to handle in Rustenburg at 4. Then he has to leave Rustenburg and go to Kronstadt. And, you understand? Mm. So then I was like, damn, man. Mm. Why does this look like this white money is stone money, man? You need to get some of this black money. You know what I mean? Like, plus black money is moving, dog. My nigga's got like 5 gigs today. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's tired as hell. I saw him yesterday as well.
Shit.
So you start looking at those things and you say, I know, chief, we need to monopolize.
So what was the track that did that for you? Bump The Cheese Up?
The Switch. It might have been, but before Bump The Cheese Up, I think there was Keep Debiting as well. Somewhere there between Bump The Cheese Up and Keep Debiting,
yeah,
you know?
Because,
you know, the first issue when you came to becoming a rapper was getting booked into clubs.
Mm.
That was the first issue. Do It Like I Can wasn't really getting me into clubs.
Yeah.
A Lot On My Mind wasn't getting me into clubs. Mm. They were getting me into actual festival bookings and shows where I could show up with 37 and he had his MPC and it looked pretty normal.
Yeah.
It made sense, you know what I mean? But then it was the trick of getting into clubs. So that's when I started collaborating with DJs. So I did collaborations with Switch, did collaborations with Fnatic.
Smart.
That was me getting into clubs. And then that's how No Sleep came up, you know, because I was like, fuck, let me just go for Teebs. He's the promoter, right?
Yeah.
Let's just go for that guy.
Yeah.
So we go, we do that as well. Then there was the trick of, fuck, how do I get into the hoods now?
Mm.
So now
so
it's like,
this thing has layers, dog.
Ah, dog, yeah, people don't understand. Dog. The game has had its layers and its challenges and its... Because you know what's so twisted is, ever so often I have conversations with KO where he's like, around that time, you know, he wasn't popping.
Yeah.
You know, what's this? What was it? Not Cash Time. Tear Gas was dipping, you know, and he was like, yo, I was chilling at the crib watching this fucking American ass looking ass fucking motherfucker killing all the shit that we were put out, you know? So like there was a lot of eras and a lot of trajectories and a lot of moments where, you know, like rap was hot.
Yeah.
You know, or Vanek was hot. Mm. Or mixing your music with traditional music was hot. Mm. Like South African hip hop has gone through so many cycles.
Mm.
And ever so often you had to deal with it, you know?
And adapt.
Ah, then came Questa. Ah.
Hey.
Ah, yeah. Game over. Ah, then
murder.
Now we gotta rap and now we gotta do Quiet Door.
Second album, right?
Fuck, now we gotta make Quiet Door.
Part 2.
Shit.
You know what I mean? Now I gotta bring out my Vuitton. So those are the things that I was constantly in that wave of trying to like take this Reason thing and make it work in the system all the fucking time. Because technically, if you look at the brand, it's an outsider brand. It's not Vanek. It's not cheesy. It's not senseless.
Mm.
I'm telling fucking stories. I've got punchlines. I've got metaphors. I've got amazing music. I've got chords. I've got strings. I've got everything. I'm not working with hot producers. I'm working with my boys. You know what I'm saying? So I was like an anomaly in all those cases. So I constantly had to be finding creative ways to just stay within the system.
Why did you leave Do Me? Why did you leave Do Me's label?
We had a really bad fallout. We had
for
a really
real.
Oh,
yeah, we
for
had a
real.
Really, yeah, the fallout was really bad, and it wasn't even really directly with him. It was more.
I need to pour a drink for this one.
It was more Bradley. Yeah, it was more Bradley. It was more his.
Bradley
partner.
Was the partner, ne?
Bradley. Yeah,
the
but Bradley. We cool now. But we cool. We fixed it.
Bradley,
yeah.
DJ Bionic.
Bionic.
Yeah,
Bradley. What was the fallout about?
Ah, dog, artist label stuff. Mm. I've never really had great relationships with artists, but you know, artist labels money is the combination of all combinations. I mean, is that not what history teaches us? Artist label money is a very big fight.
Yeah,
it's a fight. We're all good now.
You know,
let there be lots of money or very little money, and then it'll start to crack. You know,
tell me about No Sleep, man, because I think for me that was one of the biggest songs that you ever released, man. No Sleep.
Jeez, Lord.
Don't you think so, sir?
All in all, there's no sleep. It is.
What's your you here?
Okay, according to you,
Bump The Cheese Up. Funny enough,
Bump The Cheese.
Oh yes, but Bump the cheese up was big.
No Sleep remix was big because of the verse.
Yeah.
Really, but Bump the Cheese Up was one of
But wasn't that songs. Like more of a gimmick? Because it had Tole Small, no?
Tole Small, yes.
Jeez.
no, come on. That was just the aspect. That was, gimmicky.
It's so, but the it's song so was crazy. Good. We needed something.
Yeah.
Because we are hard on this song, Bump the Cheese Up. We like, tell the, you know, bank to what. Like, we angry. We like, we were some like... You know what I mean? We were mad, dog. I remember even Doomy being in the studio and saying, oh my God, how are we going to sell this shit?
Yeah.
I said, let's get a comedian.
Yeah.
Let's just Smart. Get a comedian.
So that was your idea?
Smart.
Yeah. I always wanted a comedian. It was actually supposed to be Tip Shampoo in the beginning. Then we started talking about which comedian to get. And at the time, Tole Small was really popular.
Yeah.
Then we decided to go with Tole Small.
Shit, man.
Yeah, but that's technically like one of the biggest records.
So at this time, what are the, because like you said, you're an outsider, what are the guys popping at the time saying, you know, your AKAs, your Caspers, are they fucking with you, or it's just like, ah, nah, dog?
So I've generally had like a really cool relationship with everybody.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? I think when it comes to the reason Branded was, it's technically all a surprise. It was always a surprise. It's like, guys who rap like this don't make it.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Guys who rap like this don't get on radio. Guys who rap like this don't get rotation. Guys who rap like this don't get hits at all. You know what I mean? There's no room for that, you know? So generally, everybody has always had a sense of respect, I guess, to a certain degree. Because also...
Because you did the impossible.
Yeah, I guess to a certain degree. Yeah, it's like, damn, dog, that nigga made it.
Yeah,
yo, you inside now.
Yeah,
welcome. Let's move.
Yeah.
You know, I did a few songs with AKA as well. We did like a couple of remixes at the time.
Oh, so you wrote for him? Okay,
I was
cool.
touring and I was working. Huh? No, man, you're an idiot. No, I did not write for Keen.
What an idiot. We're not keen on writing for him.
You could never write for Keen. How dare you think you could write for Keen? But no. Like, everybody was very welcoming. I think it also became a thing. Mm. It's like, oh, there's this cool aspect of hip hop that kind of came about. Because shortly after that, remember, if you really think about it, that's when you started hearing the Tswaras and the Composures and the... You know what I mean? Like the God's Will.
And
you know what I mean? Like,
I thought it was a beautiful
era, man. Yeah, I think after Reason came into the game, you started hearing guys like, yo, like, actually, fuck this nigga.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And that's something that I've even heard vocally come from KO. That's why I was saying, we've had this conversation where he was just like, damn, this nigga's really making it because he's rapping.
So when does the depression kick in, bro?
Yo.
Because it sounds like you're flying high, man.
You know what? In hindsight, having had to think about it,
what's going on there?
Why are you hiding, Chief? You can just fix it.
Yeah, you can just. Why are you hiding?
Yeah, don't hide, man.
The sound, man. Just fix the sound. I think the first time, and what the fuck did he just do? He just moved it to me.
I think it was a bit of mic. Yeah.
Yeah, hiding my boy. I'm also moving it a lot. My bad. So I think. In hindsight, and it took a lot of conversations to actually get to this reality. The first issue was Jesus Christ. I woke up one day and decided to release a cover where I put two asses on Jesus, or on white Jesus.
Yeesh.
Right? Whoa. There was that artwork that I put out for that freestyle. I don't know if you guys remember that.
I think I remember
there
that.
There was that artwork that I put out. Yeah, yeah.
Hectic,
you know,
bro.
You know, and I said, Jesus is coming. You know? Right?
Just
so that was the first.
And they say I'm controversial. Damn.
I talk. Don't.
I've never put two hands on Jesus Christ. On.
Nobody has. Not even me. Because that wasn't Jesus. That was definitely not Jesus. That was white Jesus. Yeah. So anyway.
Oh.
And here's the thing is, what I learned about that time was I started to understand the seriousness of speaking or playing on imagery or concepts or philosophies that people strongly believe in, you know? And at the time, I was running with my logic, which is, man, this is not Jesus. This is white Jesus, you know? Also, it was an image I found on the internet. Mm. But nonetheless, you know, the metaphor around it was, I'm the tainted version of what Jesus is. Because the whole concept was, if you live in life, you have to be Christ-like. right?
Yes.
When we live as a Christian, you have to be Christ-like, that, right?
Yeah, Christian.
But when I look at myself in my Christ-like state, it's me, it's alcohol. Mm. So I see myself as an image of Jesus with alcohol, girls, whatever. If I really wanted to go full throttle, I would have had more shit in that image, you know? Mm. But at the time, I just put up the concept of just like, I'm surrounded by women.
Or whenever you whatever, want, like Jesus. Whatever,
yeah.
You
yeah,
can turn the other cheek.
So that backlash, oh, okay, I don't know about that. Jesus. I'm glad you're laughing, though.
No, but you turned the other
views
cheek.
Views expressed.
You're Christ-like, you turned the other cheek.
Gonna.
Open this
Gonna.
Cheek.
Gonna. Hey!
Could you turn Angelique? I'm fag.
And it's Steve.
And it's Steve. So anyway, moving right along. So that backlash, I think, really, really hit me. I think that thing, because that was the first time people did not like me.
Oh,
people did not like anything about me. Before that, people had liked everything about me. They liked my music. They liked my conversations. They liked my interviews. Like my pictures. Yeah. They liked my shows. They liked my performances. And that was the first time people did
and
not
this
like
is social
me.
Social media,
innit? Yeah, yeah. This is what?
Yes,
brother. I was having interviews on 702 with pastors.
You kidding?
Whoa, bro!
And at the time, I was married to a pastor's
child.
You know what I mean? My wife at the time was a pastor's kid. You know what I mean? So I'd be on a TV show and there'd be a pastor there who's colleagues with her dad's friends. You know what I mean? So they'd be like, yeah, and we know Sizwe very well. We are very disappointed with this boy. We don't know what's gotten into him. You know what I mean? I'm like, wow. And in my head, I'm still on that, yo, man, as a Christian, you know, I'm just thinking, yo, aren't we moving with the lost soul conversation?
Yes.
Like, maybe I'm the lost soul and you're supposed to help me and you're supposed to guide me back to, let's have a conversation, you know what I mean? So I was going through that and I couldn't believe it. I was like, yo, you guys are mad. Why are we not having a conversation? Because I did this to have a conversation. I wanted to have a conversation. Mm. I wanted to explain to you what this image was about, you know what I mean? But everybody was so mad.
And
it was, yo, it was lit, you know? Like literally Monday, Tuesday. You understand? I dropped this artwork on Monday. The song is coming out on Friday. Ha! By Wednesday, it was shaking. Dog. By Wednesday, I was dealing with death threats. Now
you lie.
Yeah, I was dealing with death threats. You know, when Christians start saying, "Yeah, these boys are doing this because we're Christians. If it was Muslim, they would never."
Hey,
because they know we're not gonna do anything, so we must do something about it.
That's inciting.
So you understand what I'm saying? So
yeah.
I think. Now, coming from the hood, you know, real nigga shit, you know, you try to be hard, you take it as a man, you know, let me go with it or whatever, you go with the flow. But really, actually, it just fucks with you mentally.
Did the song land?
You get introduced. Not even, they didn't even give it a chance. I don't even think people even realized. People, Reason fans got to the song.
Okay.
Reason fans got to the work. And even though, before that, mind you, in my head, I was thinking about Reason fans anyway. I was making the artwork and the song and the stuff and the content for Reason fans anyway. Yeah. You know? Little did I know that it was going to spill over to like Daily Sun, because that was my first Daily Sun cover. You know what I mean? Like,
bro.
Yeah, football na bega twa. What? Reason disrespects Jesus. Kabang time alarm looting on my chips.
My headline.
So good. You understand? So I think that's where it starts to kick in, man. Getting introduced to that first level of like that first impact of high level hate, right? Then it started dwindling into then the haters having a bit more power and a bit more ammo to say,
sure.
Yeah, actually, man, fuck this guy.
Hmm.
You know, actually, fuck this guy and fuck everything he's about. We like this guy more. Actually, we think we're done with you.
Sure.
Right? Then you've gone from making music to be in the space of the industry to now making music to be in the space of the industry and to win the favor of fans again.
Oh,
you know?
Man.
This is happening while you're going through a divorce.
Yo.
This is happening while you're losing, you know, your whole life as you know it. You want to rebuild something new.
Yeah.
So all of those things happened like in a year. You know what I mean? I think if you go back and listen to Audio Redefinition, anybody who goes back to listen to Audio Redefinition as an album of mine, you actually get to realize it was such a dark album. I was angry. I was
hectic.
You know, I felt like you. I was like this in a corner. You know,
since your wife was like the daughter of a pastor, did that
ex-wife?
Yeah. Yes, did that trigger the divorce or it was other issues?
Oh, no, there was other conversations.
Because he was having an affair with love.
Fuck you, man.
Oh, fuck
you. Yeah. Fuck you.
Oh, let's keep it. You're looting love. Fuck you. Outside of the relationship.
Fuck you.
And she caught you.
Is this the part where HD? I get up and just slap her?
Yeah. Protect.
What's the question you have, bro? You understand? What's the question you have, bro?
I can support you.
Rescue.
Support
you. Hey, it's sorry, Lutando. It is sorry, Lutando. Say it.
Sorry, where is my camera? Yeah, sorry, Lutando.
Thank you, Lutando.
Sorry, Lutando, Sasha. Okay, fine.
So. So anyway, no, it was just, yo, man, it was a lot of things. But like, I think it was just a bad period in my life. I was just going through like...
How old were you
that
time?
23.
Shit, you young, bro.
Yo, 20, dude.
Young,
yeah,
bro.
No, I'm lying. 23, 24, 25.
Would you go through the comments? Because I know social media, bro, would have a field day with you, man.
I would, man, because I was also of the narrative, also like real nigga hood shit. Like, yo, if you can read good comments, why the fuck can't you read the negative ones? Like, if you can openly accept someone saying, yo, dog, you're my best rapper ever, why can't you openly accept somebody who's going to say, so yo, nigga, you're the worst? Yeah, you know what I mean? Exactly. Like, you ain't shit, you know?
Yeah. And what narrative are they pushing?
But at the same time, that's not healthy, though.
Yeah.
That's actually not healthy.
Yeah, it's not.
Because... negativity, your body and your mind and your being responds very differently to negativity 100%. As it does to positivity. You know what I mean? I can say, wow, this is a great show. This is amazing. This is lovely. Oh, this is so dope. And they say, yo, what's up with these books? And that's all you remember.
Yeah.
Is the books. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So now you're going through a daily experience of niggas who hate you, niggas who like you, and you only hear the niggas that hate you.
100%.
And that's depression. You know what I mean? You can man up to it and be strong and move or whatever, but it's like layers and layers of ideas that keep having to give you more of a reason to want to fight more
of a reason. At no point would you ever say fuck it, I'm tired of these negative comments. You just keep going back for more and more,
dog. It's like a whirlwind of negativity. You understand what I'm saying? It's almost like, and I mean, I can't relate it exactly like it is because I've never been in one, but I'd like to believe it's almost like an abusive relationship. Sure. When you keep telling someone, get out, and they can't.
Yes.
You know, because you somehow have a love-hate relationship with this thing, because at some point you also keep thinking, no, they're going to change. These people are going to change. They're gonna realize that actually they're mistaken. Like, I make fucking amazing music. I make, you know what I mean?
But
I'm a good guy.
But did you ever meet someone in person who said
that was the weird part? I've never met anyone who said I was shit.
How crazy?
I've never met anyone.
It's always like that, bro.
Social media.
I've never met
anyone who said I was shit ever.
And what's the narrative? They're always saying that you broke, right?
Broke. Up and coming artist for 10 years.
Shit, man. That hurts. Just you saying that hurts.
Yeah. Your wife is the breadwinner.
Oh,
your
hey, that
is the
breadwinner. That narrative is pushed, eh?
You know what I mean? It's dog. And it's so sad that you actually have to come out of it to realize it for what it is. You know what I'm saying? It's like, dog, even I would say anything for likes.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? Anybody's gonna say anything for likes. And,
bro, my heart
and that's
just
what
sank,
it is.
Bro.
Yeah, dog, you deal with that type of shit all the time, dog. That time you are googling hard, dog. You're trying to put your shit together. Sank. You're trying to make everything make sense. You know what I'm saying? And you also have to restore the faith within your own space. You know, you gotta feel like a real nigga. Then some fucking whack ass motherfucking nigga called Flex Rabanyane also shows up and thinks he can say something.
Flex.
There's also a slick talk that feels like they can say something. You actually start feeling like a Lintwala Masipa, something sharp and mamo sometime, you know?
Yeah.
You, but that's like not the energy. It's like you're feeling, or you have been, you know, built up to be in this zone by people who actually don't give a fuck. They actually just say that shit and then they just move on with their life.
Yeah, you were
they
the
get
target
a few
for
likes,
the day,
get
yeah.
a few. Yeah. You were the one. You were it for a day. You know what I mean? You.
When did you realize that?
Man, it took time. It took therapy. It took conversation. But I think there was one moment actually. I don't know where people who people were hating on, and I was like, "Yo, that's a good guy." I never thought I'd actually see people hating on a good guy. I don't remember who it was specifically.
Yeah.
And I was like, "Damn, yo, you guys are mad at him for like, are we dissing this guy?" Is or so then you start to think, "Oh, it's a thing.
It's a thing.
Literally,
oh, we
bro.
Can just wake up today and just decide, hey, man, let's this nigga for his hair.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You know, let's have this nigga for his nose.
Yeah. Come for Lamise.
Yeah.
And Lamise doesn't bother anyone.
Are you example. Sure?
Tongue.
No, you're a bitter ex.
Shut up.
And she doesn't come for anyone.
She didn't come for him.
She didn't come for you, brother. Don't be angry here. Don't be angry.
The next time I see Lamise, though, hey, I'm walking the other way. Hey.
No. Next time you see Cooley, you will say thanks, brother. Thank you, brother. Clearly, you got it.
I tried.
Oh, fuck, it didn't really work out.
And did you ever think about committing suicide at any point?
Nah, I was never a suicidal dude. I don't think I was ever suicidal. And that's purely because I've got kids. You know what I mean?
Yes, bro.
I think whenever the thought is just like that would really fuck my kids up, and I think they would also grow up with that thing. You know? So I never considered suicide.
What were you doing at the time?
Many things though that I've considered was just like, fuck this shit. I'm gonna be a politician.
Oh, you know what
I
mean?
Because I've got political ties in my family. I can always just be a politician.
I can always just go into politics.
Oh. I could always just go into business. I could always just go into other things.
Yeah.
You know. I literally, and at some point I did. I think when I was about to have the twins, I was more moving towards the space towards media.
For real? You know?
Yeah, I was doing work with Slick On Life.
Oh, yes.
So I was content producing and creative directing on some of the stuff that he was doing. But I mean, advertising is actually where I come from. That's what I studied. So at some point I did like kind of like off it a bit, you know.
What were
like,
you doing when you were depressed? Were you drinking a lot, smoking weed?
Nah, man,
drugs?
I just wasn't in love with entertainment. I just didn't like the scene.
I just didn't want to be seen.
Yeah. I just didn't want to go out performing. Going to gigs had anxiety. It's like, are they not gonna fuck with it? What crowd is it? You know, I'm performing at a club. Oh fuck, we don't have bangers right now. You know, you start. It just fucks with your confidence. Just
and did niggas change around you? Because you know, when you're not popping, like you start seeing the true colors.
Very normal. Yeah. I mean, real niggas became real niggas.
Real niggas are still real niggas.
Yeah, exactly. But the rest was the game. And honestly, I was. It's no hard feelings.
Yeah.
Like,
you get it.
It's that time. Yeah. I feel you. Yeah. This is clockwork. You know, this is the sign.
Yeah. Now Puri comes, bro.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
How does Puri come in the picture, man?
That's random, actually. Again, I told you I was busy trying. Hey, can I please have a session with Puri?
Yes, you were doing songs with other guys.
And those were like my demos to like get this meeting with Puri. So randomly, funny enough, it was this year. My birthday is on the 30th, on the 29th. I was in studio with Musa Keys. We're recording. Fucking amazing, Musa. Fucking genius. So I'm in studio with Musa Keys. We have to finish the session quickly because he's got a session with Puri.
Okay.
So I say, dog, I've been trying to get this meeting.
With Puri?
Yeah.
Why don't you just call him, dog?
No, dog, because Puri's... You don't just call.
Lord Puri for a reason.
I know Puri very well.
We all know Puri.
Yeah.
Lord Puri.
Puri's not on WhatsApp.
We share nudes and stuff.
Don't lie. Puri's not on WhatsApp.
He's not on WhatsApp.
He's on iMessage. So,
I'm okay.
So, which Puri
piano hub thing? I don't know. You might just be talking to Matumag. You think you're talking to Puri? You know what I mean? He's an artist, man. He was also in a space. I think that's why it was so hard to get to him, and that why it was so easy for me to click, because he was also going in a place of trying to find isolation. He was in an isolation state of mind. He was trying to isolate himself because he had just gone through a bad incident as well.
Yeah.
You know,
that's a personal shooting.
So he went through a personal experience.
Oh, you met him after the shooting?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So we kind of like meet number one at. Yo, I'm trying to like recalibrate my thinking. That's what he was going through. He had gotten into this space. He left his house. He left all the kids at the house. Everybody that's talented and working. He left them at the house. Find his own space. And then he said, you know, I'm trying to realign. I'm trying to get myself. You know, what does life mean?
Because
he had a really close call. You know, also looking at the people around him who nearly got affected. Yeah. He was really like he was going through some introspective shit.
Oh yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So he had. just seen the light, and it, and the light was in the music, really. It was just like, just quit the bullshit. Just filter out the bullshit.
What,
like,
you came here for,
leave the bullshit and actually do what you came here for, because we were starting to connect on the conversation around music is a calling, dog. It can be business all we want, but really, to make a song that makes people feel a certain way, connect a certain way,
make them
and calling. Yo, dog, it's a like, it's another world.
It's a gift. Bro, when we listen to Kabza, I mean, Abalele.
You know what I'm saying?
Abalele.
What I mean?
You can feel.
So he was now he was making those songs at that time.
Shit.
So you understand, he's making, and he was even talking about, dog, everybody I'm recording with is coming with this narrative, you know, talking about, you know, our roots, our ancestors, where we come from, you know what I mean? And he was going through that, where it was like, you know, you get so caught up in the bullshit, you know. He got caught up in the bullshit on a nice side. Like, it was about the life, the money, and then you know, he got the wake up call. Then he realized, yo man, this thing is about music. You know
that's
what I mean?
It.
This is a calling, you know. So when I connect with him, he's just like, dog, you tripping over profile pictures.
Fuck.
And letters.
Wow.
Like, we're making music, you know, and people actually take this music and it means something to them. You know what I mean? So it was like that click where it's like, dog, all this stuff that's actually lying on you has nothing to do with what matters. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's got nothing to do with what matters. It's what really, really matters is just produce the work and then align yourself with people who want to produce the work with you. You know what I mean? And at that time, there was very few and far between. Which is the other conversation is, you know, people are going through some sort of dip now, you know, hey, there's a hip hop crisis now. My brother, Tina, 2018, it was already tricky. You understand? We've been dealing with the fight of, yo, how do we get on radio? Or how do we make radio jams? Or how do we get gigs?
How do we get gigs?
Thing's been happening since 2018, before lockdown.
Did you just say, how do you get the one gig?
More than one gig.
Yeah, how do you get more than one gig? No, that's a real thing.
No, you know why, bro?
That's a real thing.
Reason, after dropping Kandashisa, he tweeted, we just did 4 gigs tonight. It goes, let's say, Benz.
Yeah.
And you could tell this is a person who's not used to that.
Dog, it was tough.
Yeah, man.
And that's got nothing to do with what anybody else would be
commenting. Bro, I used to cancel
3 gigs. Yeah?
I used to cancel gigs.
Ah, yabo. Privilege. Yabo. Privilege.
Yabo.
All you bookers should have called me. You understand what I'm saying? So it was at that point where it's like, I'm busy dealing with that. That's why I even had to go back into the media space and marketing, because I was like, okay, I need to actually get my guap right. You know, can't lose the Bryanston life. Can't lose the what life, you know.
But so you got a job?
No, at the time I was working. I mean, I was still in the media space.
Oh,
I mean, generally, I've always freelanced. Even now, I still freelance for a lot of agencies that really want to get
inside. What are you doing when you're freelancing?
I'm a culture specialist.
Oh, dope.
What's that?
Culture. So I pretty much bridge the gap between agencies and the culture to come up with like creative ways of selling products.
So dope.
I guess the best example we have of a cultural experience between the culture and a brand would be Casa Light.
So Liroto.
Where a brand goes in.
Liroto, you know, Jub Jub has Amaroto on the ground.
That's a
wrong
comment.
Catch cheaters, though. What are we doing here?
Catching the cheese.
Oh, bump the cheese up, Roto.
He fetched it. He fetched it. So anyway, yes, I was a rot. So now, but like, so now I was like, you know, focusing more on that because music, the music business side of things was not really hitting, you know, it was really shaky, you know? But then that also was like moving like parallel with just my, like I was falling out of love with hip hop at the time. You know what I mean? Like I wasn't really enjoying hip hop. I wasn't enjoying listening to it. I wasn't enjoying bumping it. You know what I mean? Like at the time my ex was into R&B hard. I even started listening to R&B, even fucked around with some R&B songs. Like I just wasn't really feeling this thing, you know? And the only thing that I was really connecting with was this piano. Feel me? Dog,
first
and let me tell you. No. I've been fucking with it since Shesha. Because my thing about piano was it from the first time I heard a vocal on it, I just thought back to Kwaito. It just took me back to TKZ. Yes. And that's really what got me into rapping. You know what I mean? Hearing those brews rapping like Fana, TKZ, TKZ Family, Mdu, Brown Dash, Prixma Brigado. Yeah. Those guys were like, they really, really convinced me. Like I was hearing Nate Dogg and all those guys. I said, yeah, they dope. I want to do this thing, you know, but the multiracial kind of took over, you know, and I ended up listening to more of the M&Ms and the Busta Rhymes and the DMXs. So I got stuck in hip hop, but really, really, really like Kwaito was just something else for me. Like I don't think people really understand like the passion I had for Kwaito, the respect I have for Makesh, the respect I have for Kabelo. It's just another level. You understand what I'm saying? It's like you listen Uzola. You know what I mean? Like my dad was like a Zola fan. We used to listen to Zola together. Wow. You understand? And we always arguing. He's like jazz is music. I'm saying hip hop is music. Is hip hop is not music. But Zola was music. That's why we was like okay sharp.
Yeah.
You know, I'm there with my dad. So piano took me back to that thing heavily, which is why I like using my real name for this thing, because it really took me back to like something I really knew, like here, like on a personal level. You know what I mean? Also, when you're in high school, if you're in high school around the times we were in high school, I don't know if they still do it now. I'm a passage all those taxis. Everybody had a taxi they went to school with and went back with. But so I was on my number plate. NTH, Big Neban Ban, Casablanca, Sister Bettina, all those songs. Like
what's
you
that
just
son called Bacardi.
You know what I mean? Now you start the experience. So now when I hear this thing popping off now, I'm being reminded by that. You know what I mean? I'm being taken back to that
nostalgic
era. You know what I mean? So that's what actually grabbed me with piano. To fuck. Yo, this thing has come back full circle, and it's actually that thing that I really fell in love with.
Bro, the first time we heard you on a piano track was the live you did with Pori. You actually played it on the show.
Yes.
Fuck!
Yes, I did.
Hey, you were going ham, dog.
Yeah, bro.
I'm fine. You.
Now you can officially call me a pianist.
was that the first track you did, or this, like, that was one of many?
Yeah, well, I mean, those are all the songs we did in that day. So anyway, I get to Pori's house the day before. Him and Musa Keys are working, whatever. I'm chilling. And you know, with piano, hey, after the first one, when they work on the next one, are you in or are you out? If you're in the studio, you're either jumping on the song or you're not. I'm jumping on the song, okay, sharp. That's how you have five features.
Shit.
You know, if you're going to miss the song, the next song, when they work on it, if you're going to miss the song, you're going to chill. Everybody's going to work on the song, work on the next song. But there's about four songs that are produced in a night. And it's up to you which vibe you're going to catch. So I happen to be there. And who else was there? I think Shasha only came later. But Musa Keys was making beats with Pori, you know. So he make beats, Pori comes, adds something, then he does something, then they're changing. So there's that balance. You know? So this whole time we're talking. Eventually at some point then Musa Keys had to leave and go to another session. So it's just me, Pori. Shasha was there. I think we worked on the first song. That's actually the song I want to drop next, actually.
Oh, wow.
The one with me, Shasha, Musa Keys, and Pura, actually. But anyway.
Oh.
So anyway, we have this debate. There by like 2 o'clock, the jams start coming out now. One by one. We're just rocking. Now we're just rocking his songs, new songs. He's playing beats from other kids. And you know how he is. He's got like all these exclusives from like Duty RP, Soya,
the Bopa
guys. He's got Felo, he's got Melo and Skeezy. He's got all these beats. You know what I mean? It's that community. Everybody's sharing this music. So now when there's a session happening, he's like, yo, I want to get on this vibe. So we get on the vibes. Another one comes in. We get on the vibes. We rock like about 3 or 4 songs, you know? Kandashisa's the last one. Kandashisa's the last song we made between 6 and 8 o'clock in the morning.
Dick.
It's my birthday, Chief. I'm in studio. Busy rocking songs there.
Wow. No wonder these guys can't wake up for interviews.
Yeah, he's so true. Dog,
do you see how tired I am?
Is too early.
Do you actually see how tired I am? It's this grandeur that's keeping me away right now. Can sell it as Mokatele. That's a grandeur. He's so good for
tell.
Oh, I can't.
Yeah.
And your money kind of like a shisa, man.
See, oh. So it was there, but even then, you know, he people don't understand. I actually had to be a newcomer in this thing. Believe it or not, as experienced and as talented and as amazing as I am as a rapper.
With all that you know, dog, you've been in the game for 20 years.
Let me tell you something, dog. It's not the fucking same. And I'll tell you what's the most telling thing about it not being the fucking same. If it was the fucking same and if it was that easy, dog, you'd see a lot more hip-hop bros just jumping on this beat. Because it was so easy for us to jump on trap beats. It was so easy for us to jump on Kwaito beats. It was so easy for us to jump on any other sound except for this particular one. It's not a fucking easy sound to jump on.
It's got its own language.
It's got its own rhythm. It's got its own flows. You understand what I'm saying? So it's I had to like kind of like first it was the real person who really really got me into it and like really sold me into it. It was Bash's idea in the beginning. Jog,
wow.
Just switch to the dark side. Just see what happens. Just try it out. You know. Yes, Bash is managing Boyte as well. So he was saying, yo. Let's go switch it to it, you know. And it's funny, it was the day we finished Boyte's album. We said, yo, let's go celebrate.
What do you mean we finished? What did you do?
I finished
album?
Writing,
producing, co-producing, vocal producing, vocal production.
Okay,
it's called vocal production.
Okay,
so
I like that.
We were celebrating, we said, yo, we wrapped this album, we were handing it in. Also, I'm listed as an executive producer on Boyte's album, so I had to physically. I'm responsible for handing that motherfucker in, you know, on time.
Man.
Otherwise, so we decided, let's go celebrate. He says, my artist, there was one of the artists he was managing was playing at Altitude. Durban Gogo was playing at Altitude. We went to Altitude. We were chilling there having some drinks. Durban Gogo then decides, guys, Sosha Nguve. I said, what? He said, yeah, hop in the bus. Let's go to Sosha. Okay, we chilled, we nice. Why not hop in the bus? Dog, that was a life changer for me. Dog.
For real?
Wow. That thing was a life changer for me. Dog.
Yeah.
Because being on that bus, like, just took me to a world where Twitter doesn't give a fucking matter.
Doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist, dog. You're going to see people who are there to party.
Yeah.
You're seeing people who are there to groove.
Real people.
People who love the fact that you're
why
just
you
there.
Why you started?
You understand what I'm saying? It's for people. You realize that you're meeting people who are just, they don't even know I broke up with my ex. It's just like, oh, where's Luke left?
We tried this.
I'm supposed to loot.
This guy really wants to get out the closet and rap. He's in the rap closet. He wants to come out. He's like, I want to rap. So I get exposed to like this other world and yo, North life and it's different from the streets. You know what I mean? In the north you're interacting with bros who will sun you now. They got a car parked outside that will sun you.
Fake.
They've got problem, you understand? Man. You know, I'm just saying like those niggas are just like I'm rapper. It's a different world. Jeez, there. You gotta show up with legs, bro. Yeah. You know what I mean? But now I'm in the road, I'm on the bus, and I'm seeing, and she had like 4 gigs. We're going to gigs. Dog, I ended up like an hour and a half out of Joburg.
Shit.
You understand? People who are rocking, and you understand what they're doing. It's about 4 o'clock in the morning. They say we're going to another party, we're going to support this guy. And that's the thing. Durban Gogo ended up going to a gig that Kabza was booked for.
Wow.
She's not booked for, but she's just going there.
Yeah.
And they're just chilling, right?
Yeah.
We're buying Piano Hub t-shirts. We're hanging out. Then everybody decides, let's all go to Jezik's gig.
Yeah.
Then everybody goes.
Wow.
Then you get experience to another mentality.
Not his studio, the gig.
A gig.
Jezik's gig, not his
gig.
Okay.
You're obsessed with Jezik's studios.
What's the issue?
Yeah, he loves the studios there.
Took jello off.
So then that thing just makes me realize, yo man, It's just fucking music. So Dope and Gogo was the first person I used to send my songs to when I'd record them.
Wow.
Right? She was the first person to say, Reason, you're not working with a piano producer. I can tell. These beats are not piano beats. And I'm like, yeah, they're not. I'm just working with my nigga Jills. You know, he's a trap producer, but he knows how to do this
but
stuff.
He,
she's like,
he's good, yeah.
Nah, if you want to work with, if you want to do piano, get
gotta
piano Bruce.
Right.
You got to
yeah.
roll with piano Bruce. And I'm like, but I don't know these niggas. And she's like, okay, cool. I've got a session on Thursday, come. Right? That's when she was working on an album. And in the session, it was her, it was Musa Keys, Lady Du was there, Nobantu came through, Buhle was there. That was the first time I met Buhle before she was the Buhle that she is now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So now I'm in this space, and now I'm talking to Dudu, and I'm like, dog, Katalia, how did we get there? You know? So she's out there like, dog, how are you confused? Me, I'm biting these flows from rap.
Yo!
She's like, yo, and she gives me the references. I'm like, you know what I mean? But like, I'm just trying to put you through it. Like, it wasn't like I just became Reason. And then I just decided, hey, let me activate this thing. No, just. Baba. I'm sure there's like some unmixed files that Musa Keys will never touch again. Where we tried, you know? Now, when I meet Pori at a time where he's trying to rap more and go harder more, and I'm trying to do the Yanos. Mm. So we are collaborating in this space where he's feeding off of my rap energy and I'm feeding off of his piano energy.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And that's where we started, like, creating to say, actually, this thing is a wave. Because if you really think about it, I'll tell you now, there's no bigger hip hop fan we have in South Africa than Maporisa, guys. In terms of fan
swag,
you know what I mean?
That.
He loves the
that.
Swag, yeah. he loves the clothes. It. He, you know what I mean? He was the first to the Gucci, the clothes, the cars, you know what I mean? And he's, you know, he's not singing, you know what I mean? He's not, yeah, he's got lots of guys that sing, but his thing is he wants to get on there and rap. Manga Pagamuzo is sort, creamy banning those.
Goes.
Now I'm done with your food. Come on, dog, you understand what I'm talking about? This guy is really, really about this sound.
Do you remember when you first wrote that rap?
Dog, you wrote Song of the Year then. I want to is all a boy. You wrote verse
of the
year. I
don't remember when I wrote that one.
When
did I write that one?
Nah, bro.
God, when I wrote that one.
Before we get into your writing, did you catch any smoke from the hip hop guys? Because you're now going into piano.
Oh yeah.
Nah.
And you were like the hardest
rapper.
Oh
yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I got smoke.
Yeah.
Hip hop is the most sensitive.
Yeah, it is.
Of
man.
All genres.
I don't get it, bro.
I think
music,
I get it,
man.
Sorry, why?
I don't get how you.
Yeah, rappers
so
are the most emotional motherfuckers, dog. Yeah. Why do you think we got 16s on 16s just telling you about one thing? I broke up with you because I don't love you. Just like 16 bars telling a girl why you broke up with her and why you don't love her. I don't fuck with you. You know what I mean? We're emotional human beings. But there was a lot of flack. Even now, it's like, you know, it's not spoken. It's not obvious. It's not a conversation. But, you know, there's niggas who are just like, yo, what's going on?
And how do you feel about Casper when he says, I'm the one who first jumped on this. Now everybody's following this.
By who?
Casper.
Who?
In your vest.
I don't know him.
There was a thing where
never
he
heard of him.
Where he said,
oh, is there beef between you guys? I don't
never
know.
Heard of him.
Is there beef between
you? I don't beef with nobody.
Nah, but I mean, he tweeted and stuff.
What did he tweet? Sorry, man, I'm not on social media.
What
bro.
Did who tweet?
I think he tweeted. But there was a thing because he came for you because you, when he had done like Short and Sweet or whatever, my
really?
Piano, apparently you were like, he's selling out.
Really?
Is this a real thing or is he capping?
Is this a real thing or is he capping?
I read this. I'm not Casper.
Is this a really thing?
No, come on.
I'm not Casper.
I didn't say that.
That's what you said. You just, it's on the mic, dog.
You got the mic like this, dog.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So
I personally, I don't, dog, hey. That's a conversation I never want to have. It's a pointless conversation to me.
Wow, bro, I didn't know that. Eh?
It's a pointless conversation to me. It's a pointless conversation to me that just went too far that like unnecessarily. So it's just like, I never even want to speak on it or speak about it or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
But speaking to your tweet, I think that that time or that energy of people having something to say about something that's going right in someone else's life. Is like just to either steer attention or bring it back to themselves. I think that is so 2015.
Yeah.
I think that is so hip hop 2015 mentality.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
Uguti, where now you're doing nice, or what am I doing? Like this. Oh, fluff. Yeah, and cool man, but for the podcast, like TV.
Yeah, my man, these guys.
These guys are always like, let's talk, bro.
Hey, hey, come on, what's this?
It's a podcast and chill.
Guys, no matter my fight, let's bring it.
Come on, you're fully fast.
I'm on Palela. I'm on Palela.
Yeah, so it's like my thing is, you know, and it's not even about an individual, it's just something that people do on Twitter. I think, yeah, you know, man. And maybe there could be one highlighted individual that does it all the time or whatever, but it's just like, man, you know, we can't be sitting here talking about, oh, you know, you've got a bottle. Yeah, you know, like 5 years ago when I dropped my bottle, yeah, it was so hard. And
bring
it
to you.
It's like, dog, like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah,
like, bro, you know, I'm like, yo, that's some Peppa Pig ass shit, yeah, dog. Like, me. Like, dog, like,
it's
yo,
crazy, right?
I like, me nasang pumile da. Now we puma da. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
And it's just one of those where it's like, I don't even want to talk about that. I'd just like, do your own thing, you know.
Each to its own.
Yeah. Maybe for whatever it is that we have to talk about. You know what I mean? I don't know. But like, for me, like, my inspiration goes back to Pro Kid, dog. I don't care what anybody says. It goes back to Pro Kid. Pro Kid was the first thing I saw going from battles to commercial to fucking making mass music. You know, HP went from battles, commercial hip hop, mass music. Done. You understand? I've seen so many examples that went into that. Questa, a nigga from my own fucking hood, was doing that right in front of me. And I was like, oh shit, this is something that you do.
And
you know what I'm saying?
Battle hard, come punchline
on,
rapper.
Come on.
The hardest of the hardest.
So I don't know what anybody else would actually ever say. Mm. And also with the conversation around, are you a dogging ass? Like, when? Show me a tweet. Show me a post. Show me a line. Show me a verse. Give me a quote.
Yeah,
you know, maybe we can give context to it, but maybe in your own head, I was expected to be the guy that says, yo, fuck those niggas, because I was saying, fuck all the whack niggas.
Yeah.
Maybe. And even if you were dogging them, you're allowed to grow up.
I'm also, yeah, but you see, this conversation, my thing about it is, it comes from a, oh, so la. And in my head, I'm like, actually, nah, dog, give a fuck what you were doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we're moving on.
When do you decide to start writing for people?
Pause.
Yeah? What does that mean now? Pause?
What do you mean? Never mind.
You want you say to writing pour, Jen.
Writing for them how?
Like writing, like you write.
Oh, writing. Yeah. I thought you meant riding.
Oh, writing. Nah, oh, no.
Oh, American. Nah. Hey, American school. When do you start writing, dude? When do you start writing for people? When you start writing, dude, like, you know, you wrote it. When do you start? Informally, back in the day, there was a lot of moments where I had to write like one or two verses for like other guys. But like, it was very informal. Yeah. Where it becomes formalized, which one was the first? It actually started with who was it actually? The first person I wrote for was Nomuzi.
Nomuzi.
But even then, I didn't write the whole song. I just wrote a verse. Yeah. You know what I mean? But I was in a space where I was coming up with ideas that I thought would be better for other people other than myself. Because I was also still in my state capture of, fuck, Reason can't make a song like
this. Keep it real, yes.
Yeah, Reason can't make a song like this. Maybe let me give this song to this person. Or fuck, Reason can't write a song like this. Let me give this song to this person. So that was the first person that we, you know, I tried that with, where I said, yo, here's a song. Work
and
it
worked,
out or whatever. And it worked, you know.
Wow.
But it wasn't that intense. And it's only with other artists, then they start saying, dog, let's work on a whole project.
Yes.
Let's see you working through a whole entire project.
How do the split sheets work when you write for the artist?
I keep my publishing. Wow. But I'm a fair songwriter because if you contribute, I still give you your percentage. You know what I mean?
Nope.
It's just maybe 5.
So there's a shitload of songs out there that like... Yeah?
I know where you're going with this. Come back. Come back, though.
You haven't had enough grandeur. Take it down the rabbit hole.
He forgot about the weed. get him the grandeur, then get him high.
Where's the weed? Guys?
Yeah, we're going to smoke weed on the show. I haven't smoked since the
80s. Where's the weed?
Smoke weed now?
Yeah,
roll.
Are we rolling?
Yeah.
But you don't have rolling paper. You don't have ruling
mesh.
Scissors.
Mesh, which one?
Paper. No, mesh always is paper.
Fana, I want to keep it Rizla. Yo.
Rizla.
It was Spanish.
Take it raw.
It was Spanish. Yeah, it was Spanish. It was Spanish.
That's fine. I wanted to ask you, so, have you ever written a verse, right?
Yeah.
And it's so dope. You're like, I should keep this one for myself.
Nah.
Oh. For real.
Nah. You know, I realized at a very early point, I think coming in, my ego was removed from the concept of songwriting and writing for other people, because it really comes from the reality of if there was ever any song that I wrote for or with anybody, me releasing it wouldn't have the same impact as someone else releasing it. You know what I'm saying? It's like if it's like how I always say, if Yippie-Ki-Yay was a Kulichana song, it would have been bigger. Like that was a big song.
Yes. That's a good song.
But if there was a Kulichana song featuring AKA and Reason, it would have been, right? And that comes from you being cognizant of the scoreboard. If you're in a game and you're not aware of the scoreboard and where your numbers are sitting versus where the competition is sitting versus where, you understand, then you're playing like... You shouldn't be in the game.
It's about
you're
the
lying
scoreboard.
To yourself.
It's about
yeah.
the score.
So I was in that place where I was like, yo, this is fire, but it would be much bigger if I gave it to this person.
Yeah.
Or this would be dope. It would be much better if I give it to this person, you know?
Is it lucrative? Is there money in like...
Yeah,
right?
Man, it's really good money. I mean, well, first of all, you got to understand it's still new. It's still new. Like having rappers come to you and say, Mpalele is new.
Yeah.
Which is why a lot of the people that I collaborate and work with have been females.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Because they're down for like, yo, let's work.
Yeah,
let's get this work. Exactly. Let's get this track out.
No problem.
You know what I mean? Saul is not gonna let me.
Yeah,
like,
no way. No way.
Reason. What? I'm Palene.
I killed this nigga in high school. Fuck that. Never. You understand?
Yeah.
But me in the back of my head, I'd listen to some Nasty C songs and I said, dog, yo, way. Hell no.
Oh.
I rap her word for word, bro.
Yeah.
I mean, and then I'm going to get pump the cheese up.
Yeah.
After that, you must understand I can write.
Yeah.
But it's a new world in that I think me and whoever I'm working with are starting to open it up in a sense that like, dog, that thing is done. You know what I mean? It's like having to battle to get into the game or having to be on some rep activity just to get in the game. Like things have changed right now. You know what I mean? You don't even have to have a rap history to get into the game. You know what I'm saying? You just have to have some hard ass records.
Yeah.
Good songs.
And then you're nice and good songs. So I think it's only because it's a new world that people are starting to warm up to it. But it's lucrative. It's very lucrative in the sense that, dog, if you happen to write that one song
that blows up
and is huge, that's royalties. That's
for life.
Publishing for life.
Yeah,
that's like eternal money.
Fuck, I wish I think that's the best, because you don't have to face the scrutiny of the public. No one even has to know.
Except for you, motherfucker. You keep trying to tell people. Shit. You could just cap this shit right now. Let the ghost be the ghost. Yeah. Let the artist be the artist.
Yeah.
Stop doing that shit.
I remember the one night I'll never forget when I was with you. I was fighting with my woman.
What are you talking about? Did we talk about this? What is that?
Wait, last time I saw you, bro.
We had fucked up nights before.
No,
the last time you saw me couldn't have been that bad.
Yeah, no, it wasn't that bad. Yeah, Jesus.
What have you guys been getting up to?
This guy used to own a club in my hood.
Oh, God.
He used to own a club in my hood.
So
I'll never forget this night.
So we buy Movida, Sunning Hill. So I was fucking mad at my woman. So I took a compulsory visa. Whether she likes it or not, I'm leaving.
One of those.
Nah.
So I get to Movida. Same day, my nigga took a compulsory visa.
I did.
And we're chilling on Movida for like 2 hours,
discussing our compulsory visas.
And it was a black and forth, remember, dog?
Oh my God.
And the Haney was going
compulsory
in.
Compulsory fucking visas. This is why I think I'm going to be single forever.
Yeah. You reckon, bro?
Forever, dog.
Yeah.
I'm lying.
Nah, probably. No,
but why did you break up with your ex-wife, man? You guys look like...
I got nothing to do with you, nigga.
Yeah?
You got nothing to do with you, nigga.
But, dog, you're a reality show. You can't say...
You literally allowed the public into your home.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't allow them into that. I allowed them into the good stuff. And I'm allowed to do that. I'm allowed to invite people into the good stuff,
yeah,
and leave you out of the bad stuff.
I was recording the reality show because I got to know you a bit more.
It was so twisted.
Yeah,
you know, we got canned.
For real.
Yeah,
for real.
We got canned on like the 6th episode.
Fuck.
It's a funny story.
Why?
Because we were just not reality TV show material. We weren't controversial.
You weren't giving them the bad things.
We weren't fighting. Like, yo, Channel would sit us down and say, so, there's a lot of peace.
You're wholesome. They do that. You're too wholesome.
Reality TV show. Yeah, there's too much peace going on here. Mm-hmm. We really need tension. We really need to, you know. So now we're talking about, the show's called Rap Dads. Right?
Yeah.
And now that includes baby mamas.
Yeah. Oh.
So, you know, it's either there was going to be fights between me, my E, and El Tito, and we were going to fight, or there's got to be fights with us and our baby mamas. Oh, so it was like, man. And we were just we just can't do that. Mm. I mean, for us, what we really liked about the onset, because that was JR's concept. People don't know, actually. Oh, that was JR's concept. That was JR's production. Mm.
Wow.
And I think how he imagined it and how he wanted to produce it from a reality TV show perspective was to actually show all the things that happen around a rapper. Because at that time, we were kind of like the hottest motherfuckers on the scene. Yeah. But people never really understood, like, what do you do outside of these rap songs? Like, how do you fucking do it? And more specifically, as a father.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So how do you operate and how do you live, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So when we got sold into it, we were treating it like a documentary.
Mm.
We wanted to show, like, our businesses, our hustles, 100%. The things we were doing, the shows,
yeah,
you know, the things that we were trying to have, you know? And then the channel was like, hey, yeah, you know, you know,
it's not Lendy.
It's not that one.
It's
too happy.
Imagine.
So some drama needs to happen. Some shit needs to pop off. We're gonna have to let go of this show.
Imagine Channel O's like, this podcast is too peaceful.
It's too peaceful.
We need some.
No, don't say Channel O. No. It wasn't necessarily the whole channel. It was just the.
Oh, you're on Channel O.
The specific. Yeah, I think Rap Dads was on Channel O, right?
Oh,
what
shit,
was it on?
Oh,
Rap Dads was on.
What was it?
Oh, was it Vuzu?
Fuzu.
Was it Fuzu? I don't remember what it was.
Not
on.
Sure.
But I mean, the you know, and irrespective of channel, the person who was the head of content for reality TV shows at the time was literally, and they literally had to take us through because Dineo Ranaka was showing it all, eh?
Yeah.
She was giving you the juice.
Yes.
So they were like, so this is Dineo Ranaka. And this is you guys. How did we get here? Ah, yo, niggas are like, fuck no. Fuck no, dog. Niggas were like, what? Never. Yo. You're not going to see me in my Madlozi state. Yo. Like, yo, niggas was just like, fuck no. You know? And and we tapped out. We tapped out.
Shit, man.
We tapped out.
Tell me, I know you don't want to talk about it, but just tell us how you met Loot Love. How did you
met?
Yeah, how you met?
Not part.
I told you niggas.
Met.
I told you niggas I don't want to talk
That's
about
the good
that.
Stuff.
Mm.
So, that...
You said you let us Mara, we want to know how you met.
Not how you met. Not how you were meeting. How umitis. No.
You gotta at least tell us how you met, bro.
How did you meet?
Yeah.
How you met? Talk umshang and anjani.
We made it live, man. We made it live. She won the year I was the year Do It Like a Can popped off.
Yeah, with what?
Yeah, it's the competition. Yeah,
she got on a 2012. I was that's when Do It Like a Can had come out. And how we actually met was, I mean, she was doing her thing and I was doing my thing. I was in sound check mode. Yeah. She was in script reading mode or whatever.
Yeah.
And then we were walking past each other and we said hi to each other. And then she then let me know that when her and Nomuzi were in the competition, because they were in the competition together. I think
her
one of them was number one and number two.
Not Mini.
And no, I think Mini was
Nomzamo.
Nomzamo.
Yes, it's Nomzamo.
I don't remember.
Nomzamo was a runner-up, yeah.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Is so it? When it was the two of them. Nomzamo.
Yes, Nomzamo.
I think, yeah, they used to go all kumbaya with Do It Like I Can, because that was like the motivation song.
Oh,
that was
wow. The
song. So she was just telling me that. It was just like, yo, I used to fuck with your song. Your song was the song that we used to play when we used to go into the competitions. I was like, oh, shit, that's cool. And then it was just that. Then we were just mutual.
Yeah.
You didn't see her as a potential then?
Nah, not at all.
Wow.
I wasn't even thinking that. I just thought, yo, that's a
nice girl, that's
cool
person.
Girl. Yeah. Cool. Hey, but at the time, dog, even a girl liking your song was just big. Because I come from that world where it's only niggas that like your songs. Even worse on TV, shit. Yeah. TV girl was playing my shit. Yo, you going home with me? Like, yeah, at least
you made it now.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But it was very respectful. I don't even think we ever considered that until like a later stage in our lives.
Wow.
It was always at a later stage in our life. Post-marriage.
Yes.
Motherfucker. So it was like at a later stage in our life. I don't think that was the first thing that popped up. I don't think that was the first. But I think organically it was just the synergy of hip-hop. I think on both ends it was just the synergy of hip-hop.
And she's a lover of hip-hop. In her world.
In the world of presenters, she was the most hip-hop. And
yes.
In the world of rappers, I was the most hip-hop. So
wow.
I think
yes.
That's probably where the synergy kind of like
she's
connected.
She's a great woman, man.
Yeah,
we actually
amazing.
Meant to do a podcast together.
And then what did you do?
Why you asking?
How did you fuck this one up?
Nah, I just couldn't take it at the time. But she's amazing, yeah. Man. Like, I really, really like her, eh?
Nah, she's dope. She seems like cool.
Have you ever met Luke Love?
Never met Luke Love.
Yeah? Dude? But I'll tell you the first time I met her. It's so embarrassing.
No, never.
I don't know if I've
told
this story.
Are we having
this
conversation? Okay.
It's at The Sands. Because I was friends with Waras from YFM.
Yes.
So he's like, I just got announced I'm hosting the show. And they're having the party at... The Sands.
Mm.
So I go there. I don't watch TV, bro. I don't even know who won. I'm there for Waras.
Mm.
So I'm chilling. It's me. It's Waras. And then comes Loot Love. Mm. So I don't know that she won, right?
Mm.
So I was just fucking around, you know, like just teasing and whatever.
And you're like, hi.
He said, hi, how are you?
So I go to her. I'm like, hey, Loot Love, how much tonight?
How much? What does that mean? Everybody's laughing.
No, but she's there for the night. You know, in Sentin, there are those girls.
Oh, yeah, Sentin has got hookers like in the clubs.
Why would you think she's a hooker?
No, Waras is like, hey, my man, she's a loot club.
Dog, why the fuck would you say that?
Hey, bro, I was lit, man.
What?
Hey, man.
Men are trash. I can't say leave him, but.
I wonder if she remembers that.
No, that's not a cancel story.
Yeah. Oh, you
it's
should know.
It's how things work.
Oh, you would
taboo,
know.
Taboo. Well, Santin, it's how things work. We ask.
But, you know, how's it being single now?
It's good, man. It's good. It's good in a sense. Like, I haven't been single in like 15 years. You know that?
For real?
Like,
yeah, bro.
Maybe there's always like 6 months in between.
Mm.
Like, yo, man, I fall in love. Eh?
Yeah, you're love.
I'm a lover of love. Yo, dog, I fall in love. I get consumed by the person that I'm with. Like, it just happens so quickly. You know what I mean? Like, I like having someone. You know? But like, what's been good this time is just really seeing myself for myself.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's always easy to dismiss other people's perspective of you.
Yeah.
You know, because of what you have in your own head. But if there's nobody else around you, you only have your own perspective of you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think that's just what I've been dealing with and just trying to like fix my life in such a way that I can take all that dedication and all that love that I would give to
someone
another
else.
Person's child
to music.
Into my own.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Into my own children. I think I'm trying to set things up in such a way that I can actually have that type of relationship with my kids. You know what I mean? That
beautiful.
Whoever comes into the world is coming into the world with me and my kids.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think I'm gonna take my time.
I think I'm gonna take my time.
Unless it's never mind.
Unless it's who?
Never mind.
No Muslim.
Mm-mm.
You smashed it, eh?
No, man.
Trade exchange.
No, man.
A verse for...
Sis, man. Stop it. And sis for thinking that. Not sis, man. I mean, sis for thinking that.
No. Yo, bro. Let's talk about why you're here. We're here to talk about the album. What's going on, man?
Oh, dope.
Yeah.
Oh shit, I forgot. We here to talk about this nigga's shit.
Yeah, man, I forgot, bro. We've never had a cool conversation. I forgot we had to talk about the album.
Hey man. Concho, you make music. The album is coming, man. It wasn't even supposed to be an album. I just wanted to do like one or two, three songs.
Yeah.
And then my body was saying, no, forget it.
Mm.
It's going all the way.
Mm.
Going all the way. I think he has a vision and he has a passion. I think what people need to understand is this project is actually mine and his project in a sense that like he's very passionate about the Sizo Alakine concept. He likes what it does, you know, especially in the genre, you know. It's opening things up to be a bit more, you know, creative, a bit more, you know, to go deeper, more poetic, you know, more flows, just, you know, more hip hop, you know, which is the one thing, well, not more hip hop, but like more rap, you know, which is the one thing that he really likes and he's really passionate about. So, you know, I was just trying to do like a few songs and he said, you know, let's just take it to the top.
Give What's it 10 called? Tracks. When is it coming out?
Digital Vibes.
Digital Vibes, yes.
Digital Vibes.
Yeah, you did say, yeah. When is it coming out, bro?
Corrupt nigga.
When he's done, he's sitting with it. Hey, Porty's also a difficult one, dog. You'll come with a hit. It's abafanas. Ki yepi nara. No, yona yazama abafanas. Yazama yona. Yona yeah. Ngaroka tola bo lady do or something. That's when you know it's not on. Yeah. When he likes it, he goes live same time.
Yeah.
When he tells, we need to add se trillinyana, then you know it's not the one.
It's just weak.
So he takes, he takes a lot of time in actually like settling into what a project is. So we'll see.
I was telling you, like, off air, I was watching a show that Oskido started doing. It's called Joe Ride with Oskido. So,
yes, I've seen.
You've seen that, right?
I've seen it, yes.
So they went to Puri's loft or wherever he's staying. Mm. What Puri's doing for the game is remarkable, man.
Let me tell you,
it's amazing how many people he's putting on, bro.
Dog.
Yes, bro.
It's the wildest thing because having been from the outside looking in, you know, what's wild for me is to realize that me and him are the same age. Right? And the amount of careers he started, the amount of work that he's produced, the amount of talent that he's constantly like trying to put on the map, it's crazy. You know what I mean? It's one of those things that actually make you realize, like, at any given time, as a person, you can take all the glory for yourself.
Yeah.
You know, you can actually just keep everything to yourself. He could have been alone in that loft or whatever, just doing his own thing, making his own hits and then saying whatever. But like the way he's moving, like what he has done for like a Mellow and Sleazy, or what he's done for a Young Stunner, what he's done for a Reason, you know, what he's done for a Sir Trill, a Taliwanga, what he's done for all these people, a Kabza. You understand what I'm saying? And the cool thing about him is it'll never be him that tells you what he's done for them.
Yes.
It'll always be them that'll tell you what he's done for them. You get what I'm saying? And that for me is like the big thing. You know what I mean? I mean, he's human. He's got his flaws. He's got his mistakes. I'm sure there's a million other people who'd say, but he did. That's fine. Yeah. But my point is, when I take notes of the people that'll come back and say, yo, this actually happened because of my interaction with that human being. It's something to actually look up to. You know what I mean? It kind of gets you thinking. Like, you know, is success what you've done for yourself or is it what you've done for others?
Yeah, you know what they say, when God blesses you, you gotta bless others. That's why it's the biggest blessing.
Yeah. You know, so he's been like a good learning point when it comes to that. Like,
after Reason, yourself comes in. What did you say your name was again?
Alakine.
Not Sizo Alakine.
Sakramami Ashkarain.
Real name?
Shepherd Narayan.
Sizo. Sizo is my real name.
Sizo,
yes.
Oh, shit. I could we shot.
It's the grandeur.
I'm thinking we shot, who was Kid X?
Bonginkos.
I'm thinking it's Bonginkos.
No.
Bonginkos Matlang.
Yeah. What do you want to be remembered as, man?
I want to be remembered as one of the most versatile motherfuckers you've ever come across. I think dope is one thing. I really, really like that. But like, I think I really want to go down as a versatile person. You know, I think we live in a world where being able to do more than one thing is actually like the norm.
Yes, it is.
It's actually supposed to be the norm. You can't just do one thing. Like, why?
Exactly.
Why are you good at one thing? I wanna do that. You know, it's kind of like, it's what Michael Jordan did for me. You know what I mean? Like, he killed basketball. Then he went and killed baseball. Then he came back and killed basketball.
He didn't kill baseball.
I mean, he did well for a guy that started halfway. But a baseball is tough. Yo, come on, dog. By the end of his baseball career,
he was tough. Be a TV presenter.
He wasn't great.
I'll murder it. I'll kill it.
Ha. But there's auto cue.
Which
boy.
Show? I can read.
Which
bro.
Show? Which show? Very well. Which show? Which yeah. show? Which show?
Any show. Give
which
me
show
any
would
show.
You kill, dog?
Give me any show.
You do idols.
Yeah. I'd kill
could
it.
You do what Proverb does?
I'd murder it. And not to. He's good at what he does. Yeah. But I can do that.
Give us a link.
Give us yeah? a link.
Give us a link.
I admit it, but I not I not I dololo.
You can't give us a young I think yeah, just one of the most words of, and also the bravest. I've been brave, man. I've had to be brave in every stage of my life. Going from the underground into commercial, I had to be brave because there's scrutiny from underground niggas as well. Going from commercial to like piano, this commercial hip hop, you have to be brave.
Fighting
you know
your
I mean?
Father at 17.
Fighting my father at 17. Had to be brave. You know what I mean? Like, everything. Like, raising so many kids. Yeah. You gotta be a fucking brave ass nigga. Yeah. You know what I mean? I just wanna go down as a brave, versatile motherfucker.
Yeah. Bro, when I saw that Caesar the thing is popping and people are loving you, I was like, it couldn't have happened to a better guy, man.
Yes.
Thank really you, deserved bro. It, man. I mean, being in the game for so long, bro, dude, it's your time, you, man. You know what I mean?
Thank you, bro. Yeah. So you are the ones who was looking from afar saying, hey, suffering that one.
Nah,
and
not
popped, you're like, yeah! Was I looking very Arsenal?
No, when I see them, I'm like, oh, shit, he's alive.
I was just talking shit.
No, I think you, all of us are the practice.
We thought he died in the breakup.
Yeah, man.
But having
and
spent
it's real. Then it's real. And that's some real ass shit. I think it's more mature to look at it from a real perspective, because I think it takes you looking at your own scoreboard and saying, actually, something crazy needs to happen.
You know,
when Blackie says, hey, dog, today you must just wake up and just do something crazy.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
shake things up, man. Yeah. Just do something crazy, because being normal is whack, dog.
Mm.
Being normal is whack. Like, just wake up and be MacG.
Cheers.
Just start shit.
Every week.
Every
don't
fucking
give a
week.
Fuck
yeah.
what they say. Right?
Yeah, I don't give a fuck what they
who
say.
You?
Just say, I'm the one up on me.
Dango.
Oksalang the sponsor. Yeah, just do fucking do something crazy, dog. We live in that world. You can't just be boxed. It's like what you said earlier. You used the perfect word, because now I understand it more, because I'm an actor.
Yeah.
Typecast.
Oh, yes, you are an actor.
Don't be a typecast human being. Forget actor or artist or rapper or whatever. Just don't be a typecast human being.
That's it, bro.
This is what you do. This is all you do. You know?
That's
and that's part of the reason why, man, some of these girls as well, it's just boring, man. It's just so typecast, you know what I mean? Like, you take pictures and go to the gym and then what?
Yeah.
You know? Let's talk about your philosophy on life. Tell me what you think of Fees Must Fall. Who are you voting for? You understand what I'm saying? Like, it's just that. Like, just don't be a typecast human being, dog. Like, there's so much possibility. And also, we nearly died, guys.
Ish, dog.
We nearly
survived.
Died, dog. We're alive. People are dying every day, dog. You still want to be typecast. You still want to be scared about what they're going to say. Me, I could give a fuck about what niggas are saying right now, dog. Because them same niggas was either hating or laughing at me 8 months ago.
Hey, my
you understand
dog.
What I'm saying? So I could give a fuck about anybody, you know? Just do something crazy.
Fuck, man.
You understand?
It. Yeah. Right, yeah. So you got a question you want to ask him?
Nah, nothing, bro. Like,
this nigga never has a question. Why do you keep asking him to ask a question?
Yeah,
nah, every episode. You got a question for nah, I ain't gotta ask
you. Nah, you know, like, oh, nah, you're a chiller.
He's just here to start shit. He's just here to start shit.
No, like, thing is, my questions have been asked. You know, he covers a lot. My questions have been asked.
Okay,
so
at least
generally it's just comments.
At least I just take for 30 seconds, dog.
Okay, go stand over there.
Yeah.
Hey, that's a
guy. I've got a tweet.
Nah, man, shout out to you, dog. Like, your fucking story, it's amazing. You know what I mean? I remember someone had tweeted you that, and you said something so profound. They said, shout out to you for taking the leap and not giving a fuck about what people say. And I think your response was, Mfana, the second I stopped caring what another man or woman thinks of my journey, I landed on the right road to success. That shit is fucking legendary, bro. Shout out to you. You inspire us. You inspire us. Shout out, bro.
Kezo. Yeah. Is that what it is? Kezo.
Kezo.
Put that in your raps, eh?
Kezo.
Kezo.
Yeah.
It's feeling I'm a Kezo Kezo.
Yeah.
I'm a Wala Wad.
It's feeling I'm a Kezo.
I don't know. Some shit like that.
Is that your theory of piano?
You the one who
wrote this Ramadan. Just have a care as well for Ramadan.
No. You the one who wrote the verse of the year on this one. You'll figure it out.
You're lying.
So if you're watching this and you hear Madumani saying Kezo, you know where it came from.
We are here, podcast and chill, boy.
To advertise, email podcast@thisismechi.com. Release yourself from order and logic and enter a new place. It's not work. It's not home. Here, no maps have been drawn. No books have been written. Nothing is certain. Everything is possible. Welcome to podcast and chill with Matt G.
I'm assuming this doesn't end well.